Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to ask you a question, and you don't have to put your hands up, but we all probably struggle with it. Who struggles with doing the things that they don't want to do and not doing the things that they should be doing? I told you not to put your hand up. Oh, everyone's putting your hands up. Yeah, we can't help being honest, all right? Okay, fair enough. No, that's good. It's true, though, isn't it? It's a battle that we're constantly going on with. It's a battle that we're constantly facing. Every single day we battle with it. We battle with our old nature. We battle with the old man. We battle just with sin and with temptation and the struggles of this world and everything that goes along with it. And, we battle with it. And I don't think we're ever going to outgrow it, because if anyone was going to outgrow it, it probably would have been the Apostle Paul. And if he didn't even outgrow it, then I'm hating to disappoint you tonight, but you're probably not going to outgrow it either. It is a big struggle. It's something, it goes on and on and on. Let's have a look at these verses, what it says in Romans chapter 7. And I forgot to write down what verses I'm looking at. What verses am I looking at? I'm on the wrong page. No wonder I can't find what I'm looking at. Yeah, Romans chapter 7. We'll start at chapter 1 and verse 1. No. Woo. Okay, ready? Let's have a look in verse 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Let's just look at carnal first. We don't want to be carnal, but we are. Carnal is being in the flesh. It's being unspiritual. It's just doing the things that we want to do. And we are carnal. We are in the flesh and we struggle in the body. And we have a hard time ruling these things. Let's have a look in verse 15. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Oh, that's pretty interesting passage there, isn't it? Have you ever read through there and just gone, wow, wouldn't you love to get that under control? We would love to get it under control, and we can't, we won't, it'll be difficult, we'll battle all of our life through, and people promise you things like when you get saved you'll never have any troubles again. Don't believe it, because you'll have troubles. Just putting that plain and simple, you're going to have troubles. You're going to struggle. Just because you're a Christian, just because you've gotten saved, that doesn't mean everything is going to be all right. It doesn't mean that everything is going to miraculously be made good in your life. We need to work through things. And we can see here the church that's going on in Yababe at the moment. Brian has been saved since 2011. It's now 2019. It's coming up to 8 years. He and his wife have been saved. And man, now there's this great big trouble in the family and in the church. We're going to battle. We're going to be constantly battling, because the devil is constantly battling us. He's constantly attacking us. He's constantly trying to drag down the church. He's constantly trying to drag Christians down. He's constantly just trying to devour us and ruin the church and ruin the church testimony and turn people away from God. And what better way of doing that than dividing the church and having troubles in the church? And then the devil can go, "Ha, look at those Christians." And all the people can go, "Ha, look at those Christians. They're all cutting each other up." Literally. And so pray for that. And pray that God will be able to work these things out, because through these things, usually, God does something really big. Okay, we can usually see things, whatever it may be. We can't even fathom what may come from this. We just think it's some absolute tragedy, which it is, but God can use these things in our lives and turn them around for good. Right. And we struggle with these things. We get in the flesh and we don't do what we want to be doing. There's so many things that I would want to be doing. there's so many things that I want to do more, and you want to go fully for the Lord and go and do things, but your flesh holds you back and you don't do it. And then there's the things that you don't want to be doing, and you're fighting against it, and you don't want to be doing it, and you're getting drawn into temptation or something, and you know it's wrong, and you don't want to be doing it, but you find yourself doing it all the time. It's craziness. Why does that happen? How does that happen? Why does it keep on happening? Oh, and you pray and you get discouraged and you go, Lord, I thought I dealt with this. And you might have dealt with it for like 1 week, but then it comes back again. And then you need to go back to the Lord again, and you need to go back. And you're constantly battling and struggling with the old man and the old flesh. And just so you know, it's never going to end until we get to glory. Woo, praise the Lord, hey? Who can't wait to get to heaven and all your struggles will be over and we get to be with the Lord forever? Okay? So, but while we're here on this earth, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about these things? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You all know what that verse is going to talk about. Okay, so we've got our old man. Before we were saved, we were in darkness. Before we were saved, we were dead in sins. Before we were saved, we were enemies of God. We were unclean creatures. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't do anything for God. But when we get saved, there's a miracle that God does in our lives, doesn't he? He resurrects us from the dead. He says, you were dead, but now you're alive. You're in darkness, and now you've been called to the marvelous light. Look in verse 7, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature. That doesn't mean all the old stuff is going to go away. That doesn't mean that you're going to be a whole new creature physically. If you've lost your leg or something like this, it doesn't mean miraculously your leg's going to come back or anything like this. We're not at that point yet. That will come when we get to glory, when we get a new body. But we are a new creature in Christ. See what it says? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Things are new. There's a change in our life. There's a change that goes on in our hearts, and we get the Holy Spirit coming and living in us. And the old thing, the old things of the flesh and the old need to go. And we're a new creature. Isn't that good? But still, those things hang on. They still hang on. And we battle, and we've got to give them to the Lord. And if we try and do it in our own strength, we won't be able to. If we try and fight in our own strength, we will just fall down more. If we try and do it ourselves, we've got no hope. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it if we don't have Christ. If we don't let Christ do a work in our life, and there's this thing, and it's a Christian word, and it's called sanctification. Sanctification is hard, isn't it? Who likes sanctification? Do you know what sanctification means? Oh, can you tell me what it means? Because I don't remember. No. That ongoing work of Christ in our lives to make us more like him. Sanctification. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And these hard things that come along in our lives shouldn't really take us by surprise. Well, they do take us by surprise, but he says, don't be surprised when these things come. He says, when these trials come, when these things come, count it all joy. These are to work in your life. These trials that come in our lives, because if we didn't have trials, when do you cry out to God? Do you cry out to God when things are going awesome? When do you cry out to God? When things are going awesome, you just keep floating along through life and everything's good and you say grace in the morning and you have a little bit of a prayer life and you just keep floating along and everything is kind of going really well at the moment and it's all going good. And then a crisis comes. And then what happens when a crisis comes? That's when you go to the Lord, isn't it? That's when you go to the Lord, that's when you get on your knees, and that's when you pray, and that's when you really ask God for help. And God goes, you need some trouble in your life. I need to, a little more sanctification going on here. Now, God doesn't tempt us, it says it in the Bible. Don't say you're tempted of God, because God can't tempt anyone, neither is tempted with evil. But he allows these things to happen. He allows things to happen to us. Or we get into a point where we allow things to happen. We open the gate. Yeah, we've got to be careful too. And when these troubles come, when God allows these things to come, what do you do? What do you do when the trouble comes? Well, we've got two options here, isn't it? We can panic. What's that? Margaret says, forget the first sign and panic, or something like this. Says, keep calm and don't panic. Now is a good time to panic. Or we could panic and go, and we can get in the flesh and we can fall into temptation and we can get totally discouraged, and then you really struggle. And then once you do that, how much harder is it to get back up? We panic, we let the attack come, we respond the wrong way, we get in the flesh, we might get angry, we might do something stupid or whatever, and then we go back in our Christian life, so to speak, and we get in the flesh and we go, oh no! And then you find yourself in a real bad spot, and it's worse than it was before. And you go, oh Lord, what am I going to do? And then you get to a point where you get down here, and you know, God doesn't really want to make us rock bottom, but sometimes we've got to hit rock bottom to be able to get back up. And until we humble ourselves and say, okay, God, I'll let you do it. Okay, God, I'll trust you with this. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me with this. And it'll take time to build this back up. And usually, when you come back out of a trial like that, you come out higher than you were before. There's a good picture. Hey, I can draw it. I like this picture. It's really easy. That's Bartle Freya. No, that's a mountain. Okay? And we're walking up here in our Christian life. There might be someone up here. And then we go, ugh. And we've fallen down. Have you ever done that before? And we're trekking along in our Christian life, and then a trial comes, and we go, and we fall flat on our faces, and then we just go, oh, no, this is what I was talking about before. And then we try, and we struggle, and we get in the flesh, and we battle, and we try and do it in our own strength, and the more we try and do it, the worse it gets, and we're digging ourselves deeper and deeper into the hole, and then you gumble yourself, and you finally hit rock bottom where you can't dig anymore, and then you start working with God, and you start, okay, God, I'm going to get in your word. Okay, God, I'm going to get back into prayer. Okay, God, I'm going to surrender my rights. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to keep doing with this. And you say, okay, God, I don't care what everyone else is doing. I'm just going to keep doing what you want me to do. And you just keep going, and you climb your way out of this hole, and you're in the depths of despair and depression, and then you come out of it, and you've had this massive big struggle, and then when you get out of it, you're higher than you were before. That's a very simple picture, isn't it? Okay, but it takes hard work. And it's a struggle, and it's a battle. And when we're here, you don't want to get back up. Who's ever done a massive big hike before? Big bush walk, and I know we've done it up Bartle Freya a few times, or you're doing a big hike overnight or something, you got a big heavy bag on it, and you're just so exhausted, and you're just like, and you couldn't be bothered getting back up. And you know what? You're better off not sitting down when you're at that point. Because if you sit down, then you've got to get back up. And then you sit down again, you have a rest, and you're just like, I do not want to get back up. And that's what it's like when you're down here sometimes. And you're just like, I do not want to get back up. I don't even want to read your Bible, Lord. You know, we get like that sometimes, and we just go, And then finally, you get up enough strength to get up. And then you go, okay, Lord, let's do this. Let's get on with this. We've got to finish this hike. We've got to finish this thing. And you take these small steps, and it feels like you're not getting anywhere. And if you've walked up the pyramid or something, man, it feels like you're not getting anywhere. And that's what the Christian life is like. You feel like you're not getting anywhere, and you're struggling, and you're like, Lord, what is going on? But then you see what God has done in your life. When you look back, when you get out of here, you just go, I've seen God work in my life. I've seen what he can do. I've seen how he does that. And then you go, woohoo! And then you think you're really good, and you think you got everything all sorted out, and then, bruh. You fall on your face again, don't you? Did you want to fall on your face? No, you didn't want to fall on your face. but you do anyway. And then the struggle goes on and on and on. And it's in these times when we really go to God. It's in these times when we really see God's hand in things, because we realize that we can't do anything ourselves. We can't get ourselves up. We can't pick ourselves up and then climb up out of that mountain, out of that hole, without God's help. We can't do it. We just can't do it at all. And, And so we get stuck in these little holes, and what do? See, that's where you have a decision to make. Where you sit in that hole, or you get up. And that's not easy. It's humbling. It's humbling, and we don't want to do it sometimes. Have a look with me. Go over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And this is where we need to surrender ourselves. We surrender our rights. You know, surrendering rights isn't that easy. Why am I even talking about this? Who wants to surrender your rights? But we need to surrender our rights to the Lord. We need to surrender ourselves to Him. Look what it says in verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. This life that we live isn't a life for ourselves. It's God's life. It's a life that He has for us. And we need to give ourselves to Christ all the time so He can help us. And through His strength and through His power, we can actually get through these things, because we don't know anything and God knows everything. And He knows everything. You know what? He gives a way of escape in temptation. He knows how to deliver the just, and He knows how to reserve the unjust for judgment. Well, that's serious, isn't it? And He knows how to deliver us from our temptations. Let's go over and we'll have a look at one last verse over at Matthew chapter 26. Now, I tell you that these things are unavoidable, and they are, but the Lord will help us. We're not on our own in this. We're not on our own when we've got the Lord with us. The Lord doesn't just hang us out and just go, all right, off you go, and now I'm going to leave you to figure it out yourself. He goes, I'll prepare you. I'll provide for you. I'll give you what you need to be able to do that. For you to be able to get up this mountain of your Christian life to grow in the Lord, I will give you what you need to do that. He doesn't just say, go, off you go, on your own, out you go. But have a look at this verse here, verse 41. This is a really helpful verse, Matthew 26 and verse 41. Now, Jesus is in the garden. He's praying. It's really late, or really early in the morning. The soldiers are about to come and arrest Jesus. He's gone and prayed, and he comes back, and look at verse, we'll read verse 40. And it says, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a big desire to do this, don't we? What's our desire? We want to get to the top. That's what we want to do. We want to get to the top, don't we? But then, when we get a bit tired, we don't want to get to the top as much as we did before. Yeah, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in our flesh, we are weak, and we fall down into sin, and we fall down into temptation. But look at what it says. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Okay? Temptation will come. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's what you do when you are tempted that's a problem. We can fall down into sin and into temptation, or we can resist. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah, that's what it says, resist the devil. I should have looked up that verse. I didn't think about it, where it says that he will also give a way of escape with the temptation. He provides a way out. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. There's a way of escape. Look for the way of escape. You might have to run away. Think about Joseph in Potiphar's house when Potiphar's wife grabbed him and wanted to be immoral. What did he do? He left his jacket. She was holding on. He was probably like getting out of his jacket like this, and he ran away. We may need to run away. We may need to leave certain company. We may need to stop going to different places. We may need to stop doing some things to not fall down into temptation. Because temptation is real. And temptation is hard. And we never want to fall into temptation. But we do. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. What do we watch and pray for? Watch out for the Lord. Keep watching for the Lord. Keep watching for the devil. Pray. Pray. Stay in the Word. You know, there's a good little quote, and it says, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I like that. You find that when you're not really walking with the Lord, you don't read it too much. When you're in sin, you don't read it too much. I remember when I was young, my Bible getting really dusty. And that's no good. I was in sin, and sin was keeping me from God's Word. Pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to watch, and we need to pray. We need to be alert. We need to be on guard. We need to look out for the devil's attacks. We need to look out for the things in our lives that may make us trip over. And we need to pray, and we need to know what God's Word says. We need to know what it says, so that when we fall down into here, and then sometimes we go, wow. Now, sometimes we fall, and we're only down there for like 1 minute, and we go, yeah, well, to do God, woo. Well, sometimes, don't we? And they're the good times. And then sometimes, yeah, I'm not going to tell you, I've spent a long time in some of those pits before. Could be a year, could be 2 years, could be a long time, couldn't it, that we spend down on our faces, not really getting anywhere in our Christian life. So we're going to battle. We're going to battle with these things. We're not going to do the things that we want to do, and we're going to be doing the things that we don't want to do. But we need to give it to the Lord and go to the Lord and trust in the Lord and do it with the Lord's strength, so that we don't enter. Look what it says. Last time, we'll read this verse and then finish. It says, watch and pray. Sounds simple enough, but it's not really that simple, is it, sometimes? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you that you give us a way of escape when we are in temptation. Lord, we just thank you that you do rescue us, that you do help us, that you give us strength, Lord. And we just pray that you'll help us to cry out to you and to call out to you all the time, Lord. And not to think that we can do it in our own strength and our own way, Lord. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.